You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you can't get enough of the Mixing Music podcast and want three times the amount of episodes every week, subscribe to our exclusive content for only $4 a month or $40 a year at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
One, two, three.
Hello, and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me today, we have our very special guest, and always host, never a guest, always a host.
I was like,
Lou Moreno.
Well, hello there. I am he, the one they call Lou.
Chosen one?
The blasphemous?
Blasphemous one, the chosen one, the gifted one, the great one, oh, the elder.
The elder. Actually, technically,
the
yeah.
The elder Lou. Yes.
I guess you could call me the studio elder.
The elder. Actually, Senpai Lou. There we go. Senpai Lou.
Can I have a long gray beard and can I just stroke it like this?
You are Lou the Gray. And
the gray Lou, the glue. So what am I, an SSL bus comp now?
There you go. There you go. Today we wanted to talk about vocal production and vocal recording and kind of
the importance of it
and kind of some important parts and techniques. This morning, once a month, we try to do, or as often as we can, we try to do like seminars for our interns. So this morning we had our monthly seminar. I talked about vocal production, vocal recording, vocal mixing, in depth. And since it's fresh on my mind, I thought it'd be very appropriate if we talk about that for this episode. So, let's talk about recording. Let's briefly talk about, the different directions and techniques that you can use for recording vocals. Lou, do you want to take lead on that one?
Actually, I'll lean it up to you only because, one, you are a vocalist yourself. Everybody can always say, like, oh, I have great ideas for vocal production, but like many people, I'm not a vocalist. I'm actually more curious to hear from the point of view of a vocalist. I've worked with some pretty cool vocalists. I've definitely got those in my resume, but, you know, a lot of times our job is to actually help them, but from the perspective of a vocalist, how can we help them?
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as like just briefly going over like mic techniques, I think that sometimes people put the mic too close.
All the time.
all the time, right? And then you can like do it straightforward like we've seen before. Oftentimes mm-hmm. I've seen people point it down so you kind of get more of that nasal cavity and then also encompassing a little bit of that chest resonance as well. I'm in the boat of, although those are real techniques, I mean, I've heard of people that like to reduce sibilance, they like turn the mic a little bit, mm-hmm. things like that, but... All in all, I think that, especially as like a producer-songwriter type, like we're already overthinking it. I think a big part of the vocalist and a big part of vocal production, even in the final stages, is just staying in the vibe. Because the most important thing is I can turn up your vocal, I can compress it, I can make it more dynamic, I can use automation, we can make reverb, whatever. We can pitch correct it, we can change the timing, we can do almost everything except make it sound like you like the song.
Yeah.
Like, I can't make you sing and sound like you're having a good time. Like, absolutely. You actually have to have a good time. And so I would say things like that, although important, can easily distract the artist and the singer from what's actually important, which is enjoying the process or taking it very seriously or whatever the vibe is, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I noticed that I hate to do this because it's not like a diva thing. I don't think it's like a diva syndrome or anything like that. But oftentimes the vocalists, like, to stay in the zone, they need to kind of like own the song, like emotionally just like own it and be really, really confident about it. But if they walk into your studio where you think and act like you're the man and they're just a side character to your main story, that's not really helping them emotionally. So, like, I would say that taking the time to make sure that they're feeling super welcome, that they're feeling very confident, that you're not, like, if you do these techniques, like, honestly, not talking about it and making too much of a big deal about it, you're not the hero in this story, especially for this part. Like, let them kind of be themselves and focus in. And I think that that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
As far as, like, microphone techniques, although we could go into it and talk about distance and room and, like, pop filters and how different pop filters have different resonances and blah, 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 blah.
Ultimately, yeah, all those things are very important. And if you want to get nitpicky about it, yeah, technically we could put that up on the list. But DK's right in the sense, like, honestly speaking, I think the number one thing I've told people is, like, dude, forget about giving me that perfect note. Give me that take. Give me that emotional take. Make me believe that you actually are in the song. Like, that's, I've talked about him before, Anthony Hamilton. The reason I like him so much is because every time I listen to his music, I feel like I can feel him. I don't really care that his recordings aren't the best. They're not. I really don't care that some of the productions are obviously samples. I really don't care.
Yeah.
He captures me. And I want to capture that. Honestly, a big thing that I ask for many artists is to feel comfortable. So that's why I'll always have candles ready. I'll ask for waters to be already set in the booth, already on the credenza in the studio. If they like a certain lighting, always have that ready for them. Getting to know your client ultimately will deliver whatever they're doing's best results.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I see this all the time, even on, like, TV. I know that a lot of people like to watch, like, singing competitions, like America's Got Talent, American Idol, The Masked Singer, what else? Like, there's a bunch of them, right? The Voice. For me, especially as a singer, and this has a lot to do with the recording, you'll notice a lot that the audience and the judges react a lot more to an emotionally sung and an emotional performance rather than someone that can sing perfectly on pitch. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of singers that, like, they're really good, but there's just no emotion behind it. Like, they're really talented. They're really good. They can hit every note pitch perfect and technically great, but just absolutely bland, boring.
Yeah.
And a big part of that, and honestly, it's not even, like, singing perfect. A lot of that is just, like, being comfortable with yourself, trusting the engineer. Like, trusting, there's a lot of trust when it comes to, like, using your body as an instrument. You know, your voice, right? And that changes every single day. It just changes based on the mood of your brain, right? It's wild. And, like, warming up. And, like, you can lose your voice. What? You know, like, you can just change guitar strings. Like, there's a lot of nuance to the human voice. Different resonances that you can pick up, different body types, how lungs and diaphragm, how strong the diaphragm, how, like, it resonates. David Archuleta, who's a beautiful singer and is a genius, has a frozen vocal cord. Like, one of his vocal cords is, like, done. It doesn't work.
Huh.
And, like, that's such a unique tone for his voice. Like, his voice is really cool, like, for that. And even if you didn't know that, it's still really cool. And it's even cooler now that you know that, right? Things like that. The voice is just so unique that I think that, and you do a really good job with this, we both do, I think, is when the vocalist comes in, I think the most important skill that you can have, technique that you can have, is to be a damn good people person. To be excitable. Like, you know how often I like that the artist, the rapper, the singer, whatever, the performer in the booth is, you know how much better of a job they do if I just give them words of affirmation and just show them that I'm also into the song.
Yeah.
That I'm also enjoying the experience and excited for them. Their mood, the session just changes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and like, even the other day, we had a client in the other room who is less experienced. They're more new in the studio. In fact, that was probably their second time in the studio world. Just not confident at all. And he was like, I got these three songs ready that we're just going to sing over. And the first, like, he wasn't super on pitch.
No.
But like, but I never, here's the one big thing that you can do. I mean, I'm sure you have a story about this. It is the one thing that can ruin a vocalist and a session and just can ruin the song is I don't care if you're a doctorate and you have a doctorate in vocal pedagogy. Advice is most of the time not welcome.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen like too much advice going into the talkback mic and they just freeze up or they can't do it anymore?
Yep. And they just are like, you know what? Maybe I should record this tomorrow.
Yeah. Like you just cannot, even if they're like, even in that session a couple days ago, they're not performing as well. They're just not as experienced. I didn't give advice.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, yeah, man, that sounded really good. Let's go next take. And I just like, every time he did a really good take, I got ecstatic. I got out of my chair and he saw it that I was like, hell yeah, bro, that's fire. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And like, over the top, that like naturally is one of my talents I'm really good at. How do you say? I don't know what it is in English. Like to, like, nori, like to ride the excitement, the energy, to like carry on the energy, you know, to keep it going. But that's a big part of vocal production, vocal performance, is being able to communicate and letting the artist communicate.
A big little thing that you might want to get better at if you're not at it, guys, is just being able to communicate opinion, but in a constructive manner. See, one of the things that I like to do is, you know, DK, I'm sure you've dealt with this. You're recording an artist that obviously they need work. They need work, but they also need affirmation. Like, even if it's not your song, not your style, not your genre, not anything. If you do hip hop all the time and a metal vocalist comes through and he's excited to record with you, act like at the very least you're excited to work with him too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, a lot of people, even if you don't give advice, they may ask you for your opinion. Even if you don't like the take, say, you know what? That was really cool. But the only thing I did wonder is, can I get another one, but this time with just a little less of this?
Yeah.
You know, don't say that was a bad take. Like, dude, I can hear your nose. Like, what the hell? Are you holding your nose while singing? Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, you know, I think we can get a little more energy out of it if you were to sing with your chest instead of your head. Or, hey, you know, try to take a deep breath going into this take because, you know, it'll help it blend a little better. Like, give these little advices, but don't ever say, like, hey, man, like, you keep messing this up, because you're going to make people feel really self-conscious. Affirmation plus a small critique that can actually push it, worded the right way, can actually be a big push forward, even if it's just not an artist you want to work with.
Yeah, like let's role play this. Like, if you're the singer and you just did a take,
right? Darling, how's
that? I'd probably be like, yo, that was awesome. Let's go again. Let's do it one more time. And then I'd have you do it again. Mm-hmm. And if it's still not hitting it the right way, because a lot of times, often, the artist kind of picks it up themselves, too. Or maybe it was just a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? And then let's say it wasn't that. They just made the same mistake continuously that you're picking up on. And that's another thing, too. To determine whether it's a mistake, like some, especially in rapping. In rapping, a lot of these rappers will purposefully be off beat, like be ahead of the beat or be behind the beat.
Or mumble.
Or mumble, whatever, right? And granted, like, if it's too mumbly, it's not good. But I mean, like, it's not my job to tell them how they should be performing when they have, they're an artist, right? They're doing it the way, I mean, unless it's, you know, that's not what they want.
Yeah. Our job is to really be able to capture them in an environment where they feel creative.
So actually on that note, like for the first time that I meet an artist or that I work with an artist, very rarely do I say anything or give any sort of advice. Yo, let's get on the beat a little bit more. You're a little bit ahead of the beat. You're a little bit behind the beat. Nah, it's usually like more than the second or third time. It's like, been around multiple times afterwards.
Yeah.
And then it also kind of, it might be the first time.
Because you're
like
trying to figure it out too.
Yeah, because if there's a producer in the room and the producer's trying to give advice, then I know that like, or like the producer, and then he's appreciating it, like depending on how you read the room, then I might like be like, yo, that was a little bit ahead of the beat. But oftentimes, you know what I'll do is instead of telling them that was a little ahead of the beat, what I'll do is just print it, move it over a couple clicks without even telling them.
Yeah.
Like, why would you need to tell them? That takes them out of their vibe. That makes them think that they're doing worse, and it kind of gets them in their head, potentially.
Yeah.
But going back to what you're saying, so, like, maybe the second time you didn't get it right, so then maybe, like, the third time or whatever, I'll be like, yo, this is really dope. I just want to, like, try this out. Can we do, like, can you do it a little bit more, like, stronger, a little bit more stronger?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, maybe you'll do it a little bit stronger. I'll be like, hell yeah, that sounded really good. And then it's still not right. Maybe I'll be like, yo, let's just do like something else. Like, can you give me another take too? I just want to cover all bases here.
Will you ever do, this is what I've done before. I don't get the lead that I'm looking for, and they're already trying to move on to doubles. I'll just keep pushing the lead that he's tracking down to the doubles, and then be like, all right, now give me one strong double. Like, give me some strong doubles. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then that last take is their better one because now they're more rehearsed. But the whole time, they're thinking that they're tracking doubles.
Yeah.
But in reality, I still haven't gotten the lead.
Yeah.
But because now they've warmed up more, it's like, hey.
Yeah, I like cool. Swap the double in the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Or like I've done this before, not too often, like once or twice so far in my career. I'll say like, hey, we got everything, but just so I can have another take, I'm not even going to record. I'm lying. I'm not even going to record. Like, no pressure on this one. Can you just sing it just like so I can have a reference? Just in case we need an extra take or like just for practice or whatever. I've already got it. Let's just do one more just in case. And then the pressure's gone, the nervousness is gone, and then, boom, they hit it right on the
head.
Like, I've had that before.
Yeah. So, I won't say who this was done to, but it's kind of funny, because I know a producer that came to our studio a few months ago, and one of the tricks they had was get the vocalist in, we recorded the record, but the vocalist seemingly couldn't just get the cadence down. So, fun fact for many of you vocal producers, Vocaline Ultra. We brought in the original writer of the song to re-sing some of the lines, then used the lead from the vocal writer, used that as the reference, then captured as the double the lead of the actual artist, then printed the rendering of that, and then it, bam. We now have the take we wanted with the voice of the intended artist.
Absolutely.
So if you really got to fix it in post, I don't suggest it, but...
There are ways.
There are really creative ways, but you might get in trouble later. So I'm just saying, dude got away with it. I'm not saying what song or anything, but she never knew.
There you go. And here's another cool trick that I didn't talk about this morning that I don't usually talk about, but this actually works sometimes. Don't do this too much. But if an artist is singing flat, just consistently singing flat, try this. Turn their voice down in their headphones.
Oh, yeah.
Or turn their headphones down so they start singing louder,
They'll
probably hit more on tune.
Yeah, so I've had artists who blast themselves in the headphones with the music. I won't actually turn them down. I'll do the same thing, just turn down their vocals. And now because they're trying to compete with it, I'll get more energy out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's usually because on that one, like, so when you say flat, do you mean more tune or energy?
Both.
Both?
But I meant in that specific instance. In that specific instance, I also meant flat as in tune as well.
Yeah, for me it was more energy. Because if you have an artist that, or if you generally record with your headphones loud, you tend to perform a lot softer or with less intention because most people don't like hearing themselves.
Mm.
Let's just be honest. Even a great vocalist doesn't like hearing themselves.
Well, I mean, like, hearing themselves in the sense of, like, I don't like the sound of my own voice. But
hearing
themselves in monitoring.
In monitoring, they want to hear themselves. But they don't want to be the loudest thing in the mix.
Oh, when you're playing back.
Yeah.
Oh,
unless you're performing live, there's usually the case where they don't always want to be the loudest thing in their monitoring. Usually they want more music, more reverb, more delay, more of the ambient stuff because they already hear their own head tone. But if you give them too much of themselves in their headphone mix, they actually perform very different.
Yeah, that's why in my record track, usually it's a little bit more higher volume, and then when I drag and drop it into the playback tracks, The volume is a little bit lower for my vocals.
Now, I'm not saying I do this all the time in live sound, but same thing with floor monitors. If the floor monitors are loud as shit, a lot of times the performer will actually sing quieter because they get the same monitor level, right? Here's the downside. Now you have to actually turn up the microphone for the audience to hear them more. Because they're not performing with any kind of enunciation. If they don't enunciate, you don't really have enough volume coming in. That's where feedback at concerts ends up happening. So what a lot of monitor engineers will do is they'll actually start the concert like during sound check with loud monitors. Then they'll turn them down.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, I've appreciated that. People have done that. So when I was a professional performer for years, that was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah, it's like when I could barely, like, I could hear myself, but, like, barely hear myself through the monitors, It forced me to sing louder and be more energetic on stage. I love that. Like, if I...
And the audience appreciates it.
And I wouldn't hate it if the monitors were just totally off. Like, there's been times at, like, crappy venues where the monitors just weren't working.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate it. I couldn't hear myself, and I hope that I sing it. Maybe I cut my ear a little bit, but like at the same time, it forced me to push out what I was singing. It was great. So yeah. I think that
it translates to the studio.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Same sort of thing. Like so many times, I mean, we've heard people that talk about wanting to get that live performance energy in the studio. It's not the engineer, unless the engineer is just not vibing. It's oftentimes it's like you just have to get in the zone, and you have to, like, if you wanted to sound like the live show, you gotta fucking play or sing like the live show. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't expect the engineer, like, you can't sing it quieter than the live show and then expect the engineer to make it louder and make it sound like, no, that's not how that works.
Have you ever
energy doesn't translate like that. You can't manipulate energy like that.
Have you ever gotten the request to, hey, can you throw, like, the vocals in Melodyne to, like, put them in tune? Maybe that'll give them more energy.
I haven't heard, that doesn't make sense.
I do a lot of vocal tuning. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, I do a lot of Melodyne work specifically. But yeah, the only way to do anything like that is changing the formant.
Yeah.
Turn the formant down, up a little bit. But even then, guys, it sounds weird. Like, just get the take. Honestly, I tell everybody, like, hey, I could worry about the tuning later. If you give me that good of a take to where, like, we cannot replicate the amount of energy or the feel of it with the right key and whatever, I will do my best to make it fit. And the funny thing is, there's records on the radio that I've worked on that I've done that for, where like the actual recording was not the best take, but the energy, the feel of it was perfect.
Yeah. I mean, there's all songs that we know that it wasn't the best take, but the energy was perfect. And there's also times where this is really weird, like going to college for vocal performance. It was really quite annoying, but it was also like really good practice and shows like how important this is. Most of the teacher's critiques, like most of it, like a solid 80% of it was, if it was a sad song, why the heck aren't you crying while you're performing it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's a happy song, Anthony, like, you got to be smiling. Like, the singer, like, the coaches will always love to say, we can hear it when you're not smiling.
Yeah, guys, like, listen to Charlene, please. Charlene by Anthony Hamilton. You'll understand.
Yeah, and like even in the moments of like, I think it was Attention by Charlie Puth. This is really small, but like, and he's just like, ah, during like the bridge part.
Yeah,
he's like, ah. And it's like,
how?
Whatever it is, right? I forgot what the exact line, but like that shit like hits.
Yeah, it does.
It really translates well, and I can't. You know what else I've done? I've also recorded, like, I've also left it recording, and they were just, like, listening to the playback, and they were, like, just jamming to in their own headphones, listening to the headback, and they're getting, like, the playback, and they're just getting hype, and then they start singing, just jamming. They didn't even know I was recording, and I kept that take. When they were just, like, singing along to themselves.
Yeah.
I've done that before. Always be recording. But I think that, going back to, like, a people person thing, I think when in doubt, one thing that, granted, I've had days that I'm more, not sad, but like more low energy.
Mm-hmm.
Just not feeling it. And that's like fine. Most engineers are kind of introverts and like not super energetic or like extrovert.
We live in a box.
Right. But I would say it's always a good idea. And I would say that more times than not, even if it's the hardest of hard rappers or the most famous of famous artists, never to be intimidated and to just be a regular goofball, the goofball that you are. Like, this is, like, I've had the hardest of hard rappers come in. They come in with an unregistered weapon on their hip. I got my Glock. You know, like, they're just ready to go. And they're like, just pounds of weed and, like, just really hard rappers that you just do not want to be messing with.
Yeah, we've had those duffel bags and the trash bags.
Yeah,
packed.
Yeah, and every single time, tensions went away. They performed better. They were in a better single move. Every single time I looked at them dead in the eyes with a smile on my face, ready to go, being the goofball that I am and just owning it, right? They love that, and they love the energy. I mean, I don't want to, like, talk too much about this because I talk about this often, but, like, even with Trey Songz, like, I should have been intimidated. It could have very easily been, like, an intimidating thing. But no, I was a regular goofball, and he appreciated that a lot. Like, and so did the artist. The artist to this day sometimes still hits me up. And like, that was there with Trey. And like, to this day still like is like, yo, like I've never had an engineer that gave me energy like that. And that is one of the best compliments an engineer can get.
Yeah.
Truly. Like, it's not about how fast you can push the buttons or how fast. It's like, yo, I felt a lot of energy and good vibes with you in this studio. Like, that's huge.
That is the way to go.
Especially for vocalists. I don't know about, like, bass players, you know, but...
I mean...
but I'm sure it's the same for
just
everybody.
Just give them a DI box. They'll be fine.
Oh, no, no.
No, we but love bass players. Especially, I don't know, like, Law?
I love Law.
Law is, like, a really good bass player. Shout out Law. Yeah.
But,
what is it? What is his tag? Outlaw something?
Yeah, something like that. But and his Instagram is iShield21. Shout out to Law, the main character. Well, no, not the main character, but the team captain from iShield21, the anime, the football anime. Anyway, we're getting off topic. But no, for real, for vocalists, I'll say this story. Leslie told me when we were mixing with the masters. He said that he was one of Lauren Hill's. Recording engineers, mm-hmm. who was famous, like, you know, with Keisha, who was famous for, like, firing and hiring engineers constantly, who was a pain in the ass to work with. But she, one of the things that, with him and her, like, you have to be able to room. She didn't say a word to him,
mm-hmm.
right? And he didn't say a word to her. It was all, he said that he described it as, when she took off one ear of the headphone, that means she's ready to record. And when she put both on, that means she was ready to listen to that take. There was not a single word said most yep. sessions. And when he said that, he's like, we had met that day. It was like the first day. He's like, we've already talked more than Lauren Hill and I talked in years of working together. and Leslie's a really awesome, like he's a talkative guy. Like, not like talkative, like talks too much, but like he's a normal person that likes to talk to people and is really relatable. The fact that he was able to read the room and know that that's not what she wanted going into it, going to the session, knowing that this would be something that may hurt his career, that this may not work out,
mm-hmm.
that she just fired someone else previously. And that takes a lot of like people skills to like being able to read the room, being able to know what the artist wants. I don't know. I always like that story. Cause I don't know if I'd be able to do that. I'd probably be fired right away. I'd probably be like, you sure you don't want that? And like, you want to listen back to that take?
It's like, no, they know what they want.
Yeah. And he's like, to the end of their entire relationship, he's like, I did not know if she liked me or not the entire time. Like, I mean, we've had clients like that. It's like, they love us and they said nice things about us like a year after we started working with them. And we're both like, huh? You like us?
like, what the hell? This whole time I thought you hated me. No, and it's true because, like you said, like I've had that very unique relationship with Keisha where we've worked with each other now 3.5, going on 4 years. But the funny thing is, like, she really kind of treats me as family, as far as I can tell. She's been very kind and supportive.
You added, as far as I can tell.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know everybody's...
but she doesn't express that much. She also doesn't express...
No, she knows what she wants. She doesn't allow for people to really play games with her. And
she doesn't say... She doesn't tell anybody, you're my family now, Lou.
No, but... Or at least I haven't heard it. But the funny thing is this, like, if she doesn't like something, she makes it known. If she likes something, she will make it known. Whatever it is, she will let you know. She doesn't beat around the bush. She tells you what she's feeling, and if she doesn't like something, she'll let you know. The funny thing is that every time that I felt like I did something wrong, I just owned up to it. And I think that's what really resonated with her, because a lot of people will work with an artist that is reputably difficult, right? Like, they say, like, oh, it's hard to work with these people. Then they go in with that intimidation factor where they're like, oh, the engineer walked in and he seems uncomfortable. Like, what? Like, what did I do? I've never even met you before. When I met Keisha, I just walked in with open arms of, how can I help you?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's really what she liked at first. I could be wrong. Who knows? Maybe I gave her a soda that she really liked.
Yeah.
Either way, we have a good working relationship, but you've met these people where they come in, they're like, oh, you work with Keisha? Like, damn. It's like, what? What's wrong? Like, we have a good working relationship. I don't know what you did, but so far I'm doing good.
Yeah, and honestly, going back to what you were talking about, sometimes people like aren't as expressive, or they are. Oftentimes people are in the booth and they get upset in that moment, and then they come back and they're best friends with you again when they're playing back to the song. Like, honestly, I hate to say this, but like sometimes the recording engineer is a human punching bag, like to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Or in other words, the therapist, you know, and like, yeah. And that's part of the job. It is not, if they are paying to a certain degree, do not allow yourself to be abused and be treated as a human garbage can.
Speak up if you need to speak up, but read the room.
This is therapy for the artists a lot of times.
Yeah, and therapy is not easy to go through in general.
Absolutely not.
No. And I think I've told you stories before. Sometimes I'm in a session where there's too many cooks in the kitchen. There's chaos everywhere. There's no organization. There's no clear leader of who's navigating what. But if you miss a cue or something from somebody who you didn't even realize they were trying to send you cues or something, because just once again, too many cooks in the kitchen. If somebody's frustrated, they're probably frustrated at something that you're not even aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not all you, but you have to understand if you're going to be in a room with these type of people and this is your long-term client that you're trying to achieve or whatever, you have to start learning how to work with these people in the sense that maybe there's always chaotic sessions. Maybe that's just how they work best. And you have to learn how to navigate that chaos to become that person that they can trust every time. Outside of that, you know, once again, get to know your clients. Every client's different. Some clients are easy to work with and some clients are harder to work with. But as long as you know them, it gets easier.
Yeah, and we have one more final piece of advice that I think is going to be related to what you were talking about a little bit earlier. First off, I just quickly want to shout out our sponsors. We're really grateful for these sponsors. They're kind of the reason why we're able to continue this show. Number one is iZotope.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you for sponsoring the show, iZotope. Feel free, if you're interested in iZotope products, which we talk about and use on almost every single mix. And
I was using them just an hour ago, mastering a song.
There you go. I use them and all the time. Just really grateful for their products and use them constantly. Even before we were sponsored, like honestly, you can go back to previous episodes. We talked about them a lot and they weren't sponsoring us at the time.
Ozone.
If you're interested in 10% off iZotope products, go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast and use the code MMPod10 to get 10% off of your next order. Once again, iZotope.com/MMPodcast. And the code is MMPod10 to get 10% off your order. That is excluding monthly subscription bundles as well as the Spire, the hardware. Number two is FilePass. We're really grateful for FilePass.
Oh yeah.
All of these sponsors, anything that you do, just go to mixingmusicpodcast.com and check out our sponsors list, mixingmusicpodcast.com/sponsors, or just click on sponsors from the homepage. FilePass is the online software for sending files to clients. You can prevent clients from downloading files if it's not been paid for. So you can create paywall barriers so they can listen and leave comments. If they do leave comments that can be timestamped, then it sends you an email of a to-do list. It's really, really awesome. If you keep losing money through the cracks or clients keep running away with your files or whatever it is, check out FilePass. Yeah, FilePass.com, or just, again, if you go directly to FilePass.com, we don't get anything out of it, but if you go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/sponsors and go through our list to click on FilePass through there, then we do get something out of it. So thank you so much. Last thing is us. We sponsor the show. We've been doing this for now. I started the show about 2 years ago now, officially. Yep. We're almost in the two-year mark.
I think I came around, August, September?
Yeah. So now we're around the 2 year mark. It's been really great. If you're interested in inquiries from both of us, either mixing, mastering, recording, internship, whatever type of inquiries, you know, the best thing to do is just ask.
I like pops.
Yeah. Pops as in like the figures, the figurines.
Yeah.
And, there you go. Lou's email is lou@inthemixstudios.com and mine is dkmixes. That's DEEKEI mixes@gmail.com. Just hit us up. And we're always super thankful for our listeners and our sponsors. And for anybody listening to the show, we've been doing this and been loving this. So we're really glad that you're sticking around and have some value from it. So the last piece of advice that I want to share is an important one. It goes directly to what you're saying. I think that this is something difficult for humans, especially for men, is extremely difficult, and it's our thing. We need to kind of get over that pride sometimes, is when you make a mistake, saying you're sorry.
Oh, yeah. Own up to
apologizing.
Yeah.
Owning up to it. It's never going to be a big deal, but lying or pretending like you didn't notice or making an excuse so you don't have to say sorry, it's small and it won't change the outcome all it will change is that you will be looked down upon by who you do that to. So just apologize.
That's all. And to be honest, if you don't own up to something and you've been asked about it, don't worry about getting looked down on for owning up to it. You're going to be looked down on it for just trying to defend yourself and trying to say, oh, well, no, no, whatever the reason is, just apologize for it. Even if it's something that's out of your control, admit to that too. Say, you know what? I'm sorry that this is happening. Unfortunately, this isn't really something I caused, but let me see if I can find a solution.
I would say that being too apologetic is not good, but I would say for most Americans, especially from my experience, Japanese people tend to not have an issue with this, but the opposite, they apologize too profusely. Americans especially, like, it is absolutely important. And we all lie from time to time, every day. But you know what? The only thing that, like, when you lie, it's super duper obvious. When you make excuses, it's super duper obvious. The reason why nobody says anything and they let that shit fly is because we're letting you save face. You're not being sneaky. When you lie or make excuses, it's not sneaky at all. Nobody believes you. You just look bad, and we're letting you save face. Just like a client, if they actually have feedback, they're more likely to not tell you and then just move on to the next engineer. So yep. Don't be like that. Apologize. Fess up to your mistakes. Just keep the vibe going. Help the engineer. Help the artist. Help the band, whatever it is you're, whoever it is you're working with. And honestly, just let them enjoy the session. Let them be the man or the woman for the session. Like, honestly, that's all it is.
Yeah.
So on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
Yo, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug about Antares and Auto-Tune. Antares makes the original industry standard Auto-Tune that we all know and love the sound of. We are sponsored by them, so if you visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/Auto-Tune, we do get a small kickback from every purchase. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Please enjoy this episode.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.